Good evening. Anyone who's ever sought employment or managed employees is probably familiar with what a resume is and what it's designed to accomplish, to introduce the writer of the resume to the reader or interviewer in hopes of landing a job. Most resumes consist of an introduction explaining simply who a person is, and next they tell about their experiences relevant to the position being applied for, backing that up with their education, training, and skills acquired in the past. Proverbs 8 reads like a resume of wisdom. In fact, it's like a poetic resume of wisdom. It tells us who wisdom is, where it was trained, where it worked in the past to develop its skills, and what she hopes to accomplish in the future if the reader of the resume is willing to hire her. So who is wisdom? Wisdom is of excellent things, of right things, of truth, of righteousness. Wisdom is more valuable than silver, gold, or rubies. It's neither wicked nor crooked nor perverse. And wisdom is plain and straightforward. It's easy to understand for those who seek the truth. So where has wisdom worked? Wisdom cries out. She, wisdom, stands high and along the paths and at the city gates. Wisdom makes herself highly visible. Wisdom is not hidden from us, but it's available to all who seek her. King Solomon, the inspired writer of Proverbs, refers to wisdom by the feminine pronoun she. And that's simply because many languages, including Hebrew, give nouns a gender assignment. That's not so in English. There's no need for men to feel slighted, nor for women to feel puffed up by this feminine reference that we're going to see. Among wisdom's skills is that she calls the simple and the fools, and she makes herself just as available to kings, princes, nobles, and judges. She does not require anyone to have an advanced college degree in order to hear and understand her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. Let's take a closer look at the skills described here in Proverbs 8, verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence means that wisdom is permanently linked to prudence. The modern definition of a prudent person is someone who knows how to govern and discipline oneself by the use of reason, showing skill and good judgment in the use of resources, and being cautious as to danger or risk. Wisdom, then, being prudent, acquires righteous knowledge and discretion. The King James Version translates this verse, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. That's a little different. And at first glance, this wording might seem contradictory to the New King James Version I read earlier and the American Standard Version text. But in reality, shouldn't we seek wisdom and prudence in order to determine whether a witty invention is thought out through spiritually guided wisdom versus worldly wisdom? The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, and wisdom is skillful at hating evil, pride, arrogance, and the perverse mouth. So if you're considering hiring wisdom, wouldn't you like to know a little more about how experienced she is? How long has wisdom been around? She tells us, I've been established from everlasting, in verse 23. From the beginning, before there ever was an earth, while as yet he had not made the fields, the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world, when God prepared the heavens, I was there. That's a long time, isn't it? Makes it sound like an eternity, doesn't it? If we look back at Genesis, we can determine just how experienced wisdom is, having been established from everlasting. Clearly, wisdom is not merely a creation of God. Wisdom is of God. I don't know about you, but at this point, I'm beginning to think that I want to hire wisdom. But before that, one more question I would like to ask during the interview is this. Hey, wisdom, what do you hope to accomplish if I hire you? She reveals her answer in verses 15 through 21, which contain a formula for success in the world through application of godly wisdom in one's moral and spiritual life. And this is summed up in verses 20 through 21. She says, I, wisdom, traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. And a little earlier in verse 17, we read, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. You see, a person must desire and seek wisdom. In other words, when this interview is over, you must hire her. Several weeks ago, my wife and I had a conversation with a person who demonstrated a great faith in God, but it's a common and misguided faith he was showing. It's not grounded in wisdom. We were talking about the pandemic, and he disclosed that he and his wife were going to travel around Thanksgiving and spend several days in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. When we asked him about the health risk associated with that, he replied, God will take care of me. Well, that's an attitude that contradicts Jesus' own words to the devil in Matthew 4:7 and Luke 4:12, when the devil tempted him to throw himself off the pinnacle of the temple and expect to be saved by angels. Jesus pointed out, it's been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. The thought that we can do anything we please and God will take care of me is blind to the way that God does take care of us. Remember, he created us with two ears, two eyes, but only one mouth. And all these body parts are connected to your heart, your soul, and your mind, which, by the way, Jesus tells us to use fully in order to show our love of the Lord, our God, in Matthew 22:37. The fact that we have four times the capability to see and hear than we do to speak should be a clue that God wants us to listen. Hear his wisdom with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Seek his wisdom with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. If we're to understand the workings of wisdom described earlier in verse 12, we must remember to practice wisdom with prudence, knowledge, and discretion, and humbly keep in mind Isaiah 55, 8, and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As you consider whether to seek his wisdom, be sure to remember that the wisdom he offers is of excellent things, of right things, of truth, of righteousness. Wisdom will enrich us far more than material riches. It is not wicked, nor crooked, nor perverse. And wisdom is plain and simple. It's easy to understand for those who honestly seek the truth. But be careful who you listen to. Solomon warns in passages such as Proverbs 7, 9 through 11, that the harlot also makes herself visible, albeit in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. So beware which direction the voice is coming from that you think is wisdom. You notice the analogy Solomon uses to link darkness with evil as opposed to light with truth. It's a very common theme throughout the Bible. Often people think that they can do evil under the cover of darkness, but remember, God has night vision capabilities well beyond mankind. Are you thinking that the resume of wisdom sounds like something you need in your life? But let's read her conclusion in verses 32 through 36 and see if you're persuaded. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. Do you want to be blessed, or do you love death? Wisdom is truth, God's word is truth. God's word is available for us to hear and learn about what he requires of us in order to be saved, in order to spend eternity with him in heaven. If you want to be blessed, then seek wisdom and understand that we must repent of our old sinful ways, ways that have separated us from our Lord. Repentance leads to godly sorrow and humbles us to seek God's word, God's wisdom, and his path to our salvation. Jesus, the Son of God, will confess us before his Father, who's in heaven, if we confess Jesus to others here on earth. And Jesus plainly tells us that those who believe and are baptized will be saved. But baptism is not optional. It's a commandment, as we see in Mark 16:16. The Bible, the Word of God, gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness. What we choose to do with it will determine the kind of life we lead on earth and where we will spend eternity, whether with God in heaven or in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. Blessed is the man who listens to wisdom. All those who hate wisdom love death. You'll shortly see instructions about how to contact us to learn more about the only way that can bless you and lead you to heaven. We'll find the means to ensure that you can safely learn and obey God's plan, whether you live nearby or through a congregation closer to you. Whether you desire to study God's word further and seek his path to heaven, or if you've strayed off his path and need help returning to the way, please follow these instructions to make your needs known to us while we sing this song.